Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through, actually verse 6. We won't go into verse 7. Well, maybe just touch on it. Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin reading with verse 1, and keep in mind that when you got saved, if you are saved, you passed from death to life. Now, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want to hear these things, and then you'll know how to receive Christ at the end of the broadcast, but you're also going to hear some things that give evidence of your true condition without Christ today. Ephesians chapter 2, begin reading with verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, we've read down to verse 6. We'll deal with verse 7 if we have time. In this particular passage of Scripture, you find something that's very interesting here. He says in verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what does it mean to quicken something? Well, according to the Bible, to quicken something means to make it alive. For instance, in Numbers chapter 16, verses 30 and 33, you find the words quick and alive used interchangeably. You know, the Bible oftentimes interprets for itself words that you might not be familiar with. You talk about quicksand. Quicksand is alive in a sense that it will gobble you up. So he says here, you have he quickened. In Numbers 16, verses 30 and 33, Moses talks about some men being swallowed down quick into the ground, and later he says, being swallowed alive. So when it says here, you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, it shows that before you were saved, you were dead doctrinally. Practically, obviously, you were alive, but doctrinally, you were dead. Your soul and your body were alive, but your spirit was dead. Look in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, and notice something that the Lord Jesus Christ says concerning lost people, that is, people who have not been born again by the Holy Spirit. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So a person without Christ, who has not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, who's not been born again, has a live soul and a live body that can both be destroyed in hell. They don't have a live spirit, or otherwise they wouldn't be in hell. All right, so your soul and your body were alive, but your spirit was dead. So turn to John chapter 3. And maybe this will help you understand why Jesus Christ said what he said to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus Christ answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit makes you born again. And that is not a flesh birth. That is a spiritual birth, born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is a spiritual birth. Now, you might remember when Jesus Christ was on the earth, some men came to him in Luke chapter 9 and said, we will follow thee. And in one case, a fellow says that he would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto another, follow me, Luke chapter 9, verse 59. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. Well, men aren't going to come out of a grave to bury men that have died. He's talking about people that are actually walking around, but they are dead. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, how could that be possible? Well, the way that they were dead is not in their soul or not in their body, but they were dead in their spirit. So you were dead in trespasses and sins, and in that death, there was evidence that you were not spiritually alive. There are people today who pretend to be saved because they are experiencing some religion. They practice some religion. They go to church. They give up some money. They do the things that they are told to do by their preacher. But that doesn't make a man saved. That makes a man religious. And religion can't save you because the Holy Spirit does not work through religion. The Holy Spirit works independently of that, and the Holy Spirit will not save you until you willfully decide to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you willfully decide to do that, then the Holy Spirit comes into your life and regenerates you and makes you a child of God. Now, there are some things, there was some evidence that you weren't spiritually alive before you got saved, and that evidence might be in you now if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The first thing was everybody would know, and you would certainly know, that you were spiritually lost by your route. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Your route was wrong. You were heading the wrong way, and you were following everything that the world wanted you to do. And the trouble with that is the world is heading for destruction. I don't know if you've ever read 2 Peter chapter 3, but 2 Peter chapter 3 shows you clearly that this world will not survive the coming of the Lord God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ will reign on this earth for 1,000 years, but following that, there'll be a white throne judgment, and when that white throne shows up, the heaven and the earth will flee away. Jesus Christ said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So this world is heading for destruction. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, that destruction is going to be a destruction by fire, not by flood, like it was in Noah's day, but by fire. That fire will come and melt and dissolve all of the elements, and then what you'll have come forth from that molten mass is a new earth, and then God will also make a new heaven. Now, the world is the enemy of God. And so consequently, when you were walking according to the course of this world, you were the enemy of God. In James chapter 4, he said, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And there are a lot of people. Listen, before I got saved, I did everything the world wanted me to do. And I did it the way the world wanted me to do it. I was subject to peer pressure from my friends. And I talked like the world. And I walked like the world. And I looked like the world. And I acted like the world. And I wanted to please the world. And I wanted to do what the world wanted me to do. Let me tell you something. You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. That is not possible. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the Lord told us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because the world passeth away. So if you love the world, you're not loving the Father, because that is nothing of the Father in all that. Now the reason that the world wants you to walk according to its course is that it wants to take you down with it. And one of the best ways that the world communicates to you what its desires are is through movies and television. Hollywood and the media are destined to overthrow God at all costs. And consequently, when you try to imitate the actors and try to conform to the world's image, you're going to wind up in hell. There's all no two ways about it. And so you walked according to the course of the world. Your route was wrong. Your route was wrong, and you wanted to do like the actors do. You see, those people aren't real. They act. That's not what they really are. What they really are is many times worse than what they act often. So you had some evidence that you were lost by your route. You also had some evidence that you were lost by your ruler. By your ruler. Look at verse 2 again in Ephesians chapter 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What? According to the prince of the power of the air. You did the devil's bidding. You see, the devil's a very subtle being, and he sells you a bill of goods. I liked what somebody said. The devil always gives his best first to entice you, and at the end it winds up being the worst. The world, that's the way the devil does it. The Lord, on the other hand, will give you some bitterness at first, some conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead you to Jesus Christ, and slowly but surely you'll find joy and happiness in your Christian life, and at the end you find that your eternal life not only changed your soul and changed your spirit, but you get a glorified body, and you get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of eternity in a mansion and streets of gold and inheritance and the whole thing. So Jesus Christ saves the best for last. The devil saves the best for first and the worst for last. So you walked according to your ruler. And according to your route, there was evidence that you were lost. The devil is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He blinds the minds of those that are lost and does things in your life so that you can't do the things that you should or that you would. But let me tell you something. The devil has already been overthrown. Now, he hasn't come to his final destruction. He won't until after the thousand-year reign of Christ, when he is cast into a lake of fire. But in the meantime, he has toppled several times. The Lord Jesus Christ cast him out while he was here. In John chapter 12, verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And the prince of this world is the devil. He's already been judged. He's found way short of God's standard. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that he's ever given up the fight. His goal ever since that time until this time has been to take you down with him. But let me tell you, he's heading for a lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the devil would be cast in the lake of fire where the false prophet and the beast are. And he wants you to go there. And he wanted you to go there before you got saved. Now, if you got saved, he can't take you there. But there was evidence that you followed your ruler. I surely did. Looking back on the things that I did in my life, I would find myself getting tricked subtly by the devil, and I thought what I was doing was going to turn out all right, and then all of a sudden I found out it didn't turn out all right at all. And that's the devil's way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way end thereof are the ways of death. And that's where the devil's going. That was who your ruler was. You followed the devil. The devil, see, is in charge of this world. He's the prince of this world. So he sets up a world system to trap you, to make you think that if you can have the world's good, that you're going to come out all right. He wants you to have the world's money. He wants you to have the world's prestige. He wants you to have the world's power. He wants you to have the world's reputation. And then in the end, he'll destroy you. All right, now there's something else in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that was evidence of your dead spirit. It was not only your route and your ruler, but it was also your rebellion. Notice this, where in time past, what? You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You were disobeying God's command. As a lost man, every lost man disobeys God's command. There is a command that's laid down for you in the epistle of John, the first epistle of John, in John chapter 3, verse 23. There's something laid down for you, and this is the commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. But the first commandment then is believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ. And before you got saved, you might have believed there was a man named Jesus, and you might have known His name, and you might have professed to have prayed in His name. But you didn't know Him, and you didn't believe on Him, and that you were trusting Him completely, absolutely, plus nothing to get you to heaven when you died. Your faith wasn't in Him. Your faith was in your works. Your faith was in your religion. Your faith was in whatever. But let me tell you, there is a rebellious spirit in people, children of disobedience, following the devil's lead, not to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything will do to keep you from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion is the most acceptable, worldly acceptable substitute for true Christianity. And I have talked with more religious people who think because they can say the name of Jesus and think because they've gone to church from time to time that therein lies their salvation, but truthfully they have no assurance that they're going to go to heaven. Their religion won't let them have that assurance. Their religion wants their money and wants their church attendance. So God knows that their religion would never let them know for sure that they were saved. They have no assurance. They have no real absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence inside of you and gives you assurance that when you die, you're going to make it to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit came into this world, He came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Why did He come to convict the world of sin? He came to convict the world of sin because they believe not on Me. That's what He said. So we could tell that we were dead because your route, because of your ruler, and because of your rebellion. You weren't doing the things God wanted you to do. Couldn't. The Holy Spirit wasn't in you to do that. You could have told that about Me, and I could tell that about you. Now, there was also some other evidence of your death before your salvation. Anybody could have told by what you talked about. Notice in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. You sit down and listen to a man talk long enough, you can tell whether he's saved or lost by what he's talking about. Now, if he's lost and he's not serving the Lord, if he's saved and he's not serving the Lord, he may come out talking like a lost man. God forbid, but that happens. But truthfully, if you listen to him talk long enough, you'll find out whether he's saved or lost. God didn't call you and I to judge him, but you have to know whether or not to witness to him and how to witness to him as a lost man that needs to get saved or as a Christian that's not serving Christ. You need to know the difference. Listen, before you got saved, you talked about everything you wanted, everything you liked, and there was no conversation at all about spiritual matters. There might have been about church and church attendance and church administration and, you know, church politics and all that kind of stuff, but there wasn't any conversation about the things of God. You might have used God's name, but it would have been in vain, or God help me, something like that. But as far as spiritual matters, no way. You didn't have any appetite for this Bible whatsoever. You couldn't quote one, two verses of Scripture because you weren't saved. I'll tell you what, it was a funny thing, but after I got saved, I had an appetite for this book, and that appetite hadn't gone away. I still want to read this book. I still want to preach this book. I still want to teach this book. I still want to know what it says. So there's obviously something wrong with your spirit before you get saved because there's no spiritual matters coming out of your mouth. Your conversation was messed up. Also, there was evidence of your dead spirit by what you did. Notice here again in verse 3, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What happened is the flesh would come up with a desire, come on, let's drink whiskey. So you'd go to the bar. And there was nothing in you to stop you from doing that except maybe a little conscience, and you got over that pretty quick. Or you fulfill the lust of the mind. Generally, you cook up in your head the bad things you're going to do first, and then you go out and do them. You make the decision after the debate, and then you actually carry out the action. What'd you do? Well, you went to the bars. You sought out entertainment. You sought out recreation. You went to work. You went to the movies. Maybe you did some dope. You cheated, you lied, you stole, you exploited, you extorted, you cussed. Basically, you sinned. And I'll tell you, you don't lose your sin after you get saved. But I'll tell you what, your life starts to clean up a little bit. And I know a lot of folks that wanted to clean up their life, but they didn't have the power to do it. And therefore, that what they did was evidence that they were still lost, still children of disobedience, still under the prince of the power of the air, still walking according to the course of this world, and therefore, as a result of all this, they were in death. Notice he says, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Dead man. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. You read the Bible says the wages of sin is death. John chapter 3, talking about not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As I've described before, you're walking around like you got an A-bomb sitting on your shoulder just waiting to go off, and the moment it does, you wind up in hell. So in spite of all this evidence against you, what you talked about, what you did, your route, your ruler, and your rebellion, God had mercy on you and had mercy on me. God extended His love to you and extended His love to me. And we finally realized the great thing that Jesus Christ did for us. We got on our knees, repented of our unrighteousness, accepted the righteousness that can only come by the Lord Jesus Christ, received Him as our Savior, believed on Him, and trusted Him fully in all of His finished work for our salvation. We got saved. And something changed. Our spirit came to life. We were quickened who had been dead in trespasses and sins. And that happened as a result of God extending His mercy to us and God extending His love to us. That Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He had mercy on us. I'll guarantee you, God had to have mercy on me. I was so bad, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Any court of law that would have stood for God could have sat down and made a judgment against me within 5 minutes and condemned me to hell. God certainly had already done that. But then He extended His mercy beyond what I deserved and gave me heaven because of what His Son had done for me. Brought me to life out of death. He loved me. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And Jesus Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So He brought us out of death and into life. He quickened us. And He says here in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He brought us out of death and into life right now. You go over there and you read one of the simplest verses in the Bible in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. That Bible verse says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All one-syllable words. Very simply, you have life based upon whether or not you have the Son of God. If you don't have the Son of God, you do not have life. And if you have the Son of God, you do have life. Is He a resident of your heart? Is He a resident of your soul? Well, there's no question in my mind about that as far as I'm concerned. You either do or you don't. And you know whether you do or not based upon whether you've received Him and whether or not He took up residence on the inside and became what? Your ruler, your Savior, your resident. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. I know it. We know that we have passed from death unto life. John chapter 5, verse 24 says this. It's a great verse on eternal security. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Well, how long does that last? It lasts forever. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's already happened. That happened the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior. That happened the moment that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And that will happen the moment that you trust Christ as your Savior if you're lost. You will pass from death unto life. And not only that, but look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, I'm waiting on the rapture, I'm waiting on the resurrection. Well, so am I, but let me tell you something. When you get saved, you're already raised. Because you're in Christ, you're already in heavenly places because Christ is in heavenly places. You say, how could that be? Well, we looked at that yesterday. But we saw this, that when you get saved, you become a member of Christ's flesh and of his bones. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You are deposited by the Holy Spirit into his physical body that is seated at the right hand of God Almighty, in a place right there at the right hand of God. And so therefore, since you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, you're in him, and since he's in heavenly places, so are you. And that's spiritually possible, whether you can understand that with a carnal mind or not. I believe it. I don't know that I understand it, but I just know it's true. Now watch this. You know, so aren't you waiting on the rapture? A saved man, you're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back? Well, I am. And we often quote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 to talk about the rapture. But look what you often might have overlooked in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now what's he talking about? There's people already in Christ that are seated there with Christ, and he's going to bring those people back with him, but their bodies are here in the earth. How is that possible? That's possible only by this fact, that when you get saved, you are already raised and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you drop this robe of flesh, you are immediately in heaven, because that's where you're already joined in the Spirit, and then God will bring you back with Jesus Christ when he comes to get your body out of the grave. So remember, as a saved person, you have mercy, you have God's love, you have God's life, you have resurrection already. So if that's the case, don't live like or look like you did before you got saved. Change your route. Change your ruler. Change your rebellion. Change the things you talk about, and change the things you do by allowing the Holy Spirit to make those changes in your life. And if you're not saved, please, would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? He's the only one that can get you out of this mess.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.